and welcome back to the Pretty Little Podcast. We're your hosts.
My name is Phoebe.
And my name is Caroline. And guys, we are going to get into some reality TV stuff today, specifically Salt Lake. There's much to discuss. We just had a pretty intense run on Watch What Happens Live with Angie, Lisa, and Mary.
I love what Peacock is doing, where when you stream it on Peacock, they now put the Watch What Happens Live episodes in.
It's actually funny to hear you say that because people are hating it. But like, I think it's good too.
Because I'd never know.
Well, it's just nice because then it's like, I don't have to toggle to like a whole separate show. I know I'm describing first world problems, but you understand what I'm saying. Like, it's like, I'll get lost in the sauce and I won't get there. Like, if I have to go away from this to go to a different thing to see Watch What Happens, something's gonna distract me and then that's just game over.
Yeah, I agree. I like it.
I think it's nice too. It also makes the episodes feel longer. Mm-hmm. Like, I like when you get to watch it live and it just goes right into it. It feels like an extension.
The one thing I don't like is how they're numbering the episodes. Like, it'll be.
Well, it's like episode 8. I'm like, what? Like, it's not. Like episode 3. Like, chill. Don't make me think I need to start savoring every second of this already, even though I do. Even though I fully do. It is just so good. It's such good television. It really, really is. But before we get into all that good stuff, I thought we could just kind of do a little update. How's your week in Pittsburgh going, Fee?
Good. It's been good. I can't believe it's almost over. I also feel like I've been here forever, but like not quite forever.
I'm kind of pissed because like normally when you come, you always extend your trip and this time you're not going to. Yeah. And what sucks is this weekend I'm going to a wedding. So like I won't even get the rest of the week with you.
Yeah, but I'm leaving Wednesday.
Ah!
So.
I just hate it. But the good news is.
See each other at Thanksgiving.
Oh my God, I'll see you next month, which is great.
And then.
Not that I'm really going to miss you that much.
Not even a couple weeks after that. Well, yeah.
Not that I'm like sad when you're not around or anything.
Because that would be weird.
I have to play cool with Phoebe. What's interesting sometimes is like learning that you're scared of me. But like I'm scared of you.
When did you learn that I'm scared of you?
Anthony told me.
Oh, it's not so much fear. It's more managing.
Managing me. Your middle management? Seth Marks?
Well, it's like there are certain things. I know Anthony's literally your husband, but there are certain things where I'm like, Anthony, don't do that.
Oh, thank you. I know.
That will piss her off.
Thank you. I know.
Like when he's like, we're just going to go buy your house, get Caroline. What? No.
No,
she's not gonna like that,
Phoebe.
She has an answer because she's teaching.
I know,
and she's not gonna like if you walk down the driveway and interrupt her lesson. And yes. he's like, don't be. Why are you afraid of her? And I'm like, I'm not.
And you're like, why aren't you? Why aren't you a little bit more afraid of her, Anthony? No, I know. There are so many things like that will just drive me nuts, and I'm like, you should just know this. But I guess there are some things that you really do learn just from being raised with somebody for your whole life that even marriage can't match sometimes.
Yes.
And there's something about being fraternal twins. Like, we are connected in a way that Anthony and I are not. And absolutely. Anthony and I are connected in a way that you and I are not. I don't see any rock on my finger from you.
Nope.
I don't see a massive freaking rock on my finger from you.
Never will.
Oh, my. Okay, ouch. Okay, so you're literally never getting a gigantic rock? Okay, ouch. I want to talk about Cheetah Girls really quickly, though. Because last night, got home from the ghost tour. And played a quick little round of Mario Party with Alec, Clyde, and Anthony. And at one part, Clyde just like starts going, what does he start? Oh, he's.
We are sisters. To Jesus'
faith and trust your heart. You know that part? To somehow lead you through the dark. It's the beginning of Cheetah Sisters. But it's like. Is it Raven? They all have a part. You're not the only one who's dreaming. We need help to carry on. So to know we're not alone.
Okay. Yeah.
And so Clyde starts doing it. And it was almost like this like siren call, like who could join in. And it awoke something inside of me. I just immediately knew every word, every vocal run, like was singing it with them. We go into like a full Cheetah Girls medley, Phoebe. Alec joins in. Anthony is the only one who like doesn't know all these songs.
Right.
If you can believe it, Cinderella was the last one we hit. That's how many we had to get to before. But let's just revisit Cinderella for a second.
That song is so fire.
I don't want to be like Cinderella. Cinderella.
I mean, hits.
Waiting for somebody. Like, I know. So funny hearing the little five-year-old pitter-patter next door.
So cute.
But I'm sorry, so, like, Cinderella, that I have a gripe with you about
Cheetah Girls, actually.
Wait, how could you? What? That we went to the concert once?
It's like a 20-year gripe.
Oh, I love those ones. Okay, let's hear it.
The Barcelona movie. When it premiered, we were supposed to watch it together and have a little party, a little sister party.
Oh, my God.
Mom bought me Cosmic Brownies because I asked for them, and we were going to have Cosmic Brownies and watch the Cheetah Girls.
Okay.
You didn't come and watch it with me.
What was I doing instead?
I think you were with your friends.
Was I at rehearsal? Was I working? Was I trying to provide?
I don't remember why you weren't there, but I remember the feeling.
Oh my God. Why didn't you say something? Now I have to sit with this for another 20 years. Perfect. Now this is your 20-year gripe. It's now turning into a 40-year gripe.
I can just pass this off to you. You just
passed it on. And that's what, and guys, that is generational trauma. And yeah. That is what familial trauma looks like. Wow. Well, hey, I'm really sorry.
Thanks.
We can always watch it. We can watch it tonight. Yeah. And how did I know that as soon as I offer to make it up, she's like, well, I actually don't want to fucking watch that with you. That's actually how she responds.
Anyway, that movie, but all those movies are fire.
They're all so good, but we went through, there are so many. Do we remember Why Wait? Belinda? Why wait when now is the right time? And she's like, she starts it out and she's like, or no, she gets to the, wanna be to complete those
things. I don't remember that one.
It's all in Spanish.
But the thing, I mean, Cheetah Girls did a lot of, like, it's cool that they touched on a lot of, like, storylines in that.
I know.
Raven's parents aren't around.
I know. There's, like, we've
got the foster girl.
Dorinda. Yeah, let's call her Doe. Let's call her by her freaking name, Doe.
I couldn't think of it, and I didn't want to get it
Dorinda
wrong.
Dorinda was my favorite.
I think she was my favorite, too, because she could dance.
She's the dancer. And I think she was, like, a little bit tomboyish, which I was, for some reason, when I was a kid, I was, like, dying to be a tomboy.
It was possible.
Well, believe me, I know it's possible, but it is something that, like, you're kind of just born with. Like, I was not meant to be a tomboy.
And unfortunately, guys, I was.
But I wanted to be bad. I feel like there was...
I wanted to be you bad.
Know, I wanted to be not bad, but I wanted to be a tomboy bad. You know what I mean? Because I feel like there was an air, like, and you know what it is. It's the pick me. Sorry, I'm not calling you. I know you were like a different...
I wasn't a pick me.
You were a tomboy. You were like the creepy student at a jazz club vibe.
Here's what it was. Okay. It was Allison Stoner and Cheaper by the Dozen.
Yes.
And the thing about that era of tomboys, late 90s, early 2000s, is that those tomboys were not pick me.
Right.
It was bestowed upon them. That's how they weren't trying. They wanted to be one of the guys.
Yes.
Not because they wanted to be picked by the guys.
Yes. And you know what? I remember being in elementary school and, like, wanting to be a tomboy. And the thing was that Kate had an older brother. Mm-hmm. So it came to her, honestly. You know, she was a little bit more of a tomboy than me at the time. And I was like, well, that's cooler. Like, it's cooler to... And what does that say also about society? That I was like, it's actually cooler to not be a girly girl. It'd be much cooler for me to be a tomboy and, like, know about sports and things like that and not care about how I look. And so I really try to commit to it. But, like, it's like when you're trying on a shoe that doesn't fit. You know what I mean? Like, it was like, this ain't me. But I kept trying. And Mom was, like, aware of this, like, that I was, like, going for it. But also, like, oh, whatever. So then I remember that, like, the main driving force of me wanting to be a tomboy was the boy that I liked. Which is so, and the that's, start and that's of being it, a pick me.
That's pick me, but that I think that those that's a different tomboyism than people who are in it for the love of the game.
No, 100%. And, like, I wanted to be a tomboy because I was like, this guy. He really. Have I ever told the story about him being into the, like, Miami sports team?
I think I do remember this.
I'm sure you know it, but I don't know if I've told it. But regardless, Anthony loves the story. He thinks this is, like, such an insane story. And it's not really that insane, but to him, this is crazy. So, like, the guy that I had a crush on, and everyone had a crush on this guy. Like, it was, like, the one boy in fifth grade that you could have a crush on, really. And he wore a Miami hat to school every day. And so I was like...
That's terrible.
The coffee?
Oh, my goodness gracious.
Oh, guess you should have gotten one at Starbucks.
That is terrible. It's weird because that's my second cup of the day.
her second cup of Joe of the day.
Anyway. And you guys know I just like a plain cup of Joe.
Guys, the way I'm
sitting,
girl.
The way I'm sitting right now in the room is almost like I can pretend you guys are all here.
Yeah, and she's talking. Not looking at me at all. She is facing completely front, feet out on the ottoman, by the way, in a full Steeler. Like, you're actually morphing into one of those people that, like, dies and then is like buried in their Steelers room in their house. That's what you're giving right now. Also the way you're sitting.
And that's the goal.
Okay, well, that
I live and die for my team. Right. And I bleed black and gold. That is the coolest part about Pittsburgh. All of our sports teams have the same colors.
and there's a lot about Pittsburgh at school, but the coolest part about Pittsburgh is that all of our sports teams have the same colors to save you money.
Not even that. It's like Pittsburgh is like we bleed black and gold. In Boston,
black
it's
and
like
yellow.
In Boston, it's like, well, of course, black and yellow, of course, and we have that song. But are there any other cities you can think of that are?
No, but back to well, yes, Phoebe, actually, because back to what I was saying in Miami. So, I was like, Mom, I need a Miami Dolphins hat. I need a Miami Dolphins hat to wear to school. We weren't allowed to wear them. Also, like, she wasn't supportive of this, but you had 47 fedoras. Okay.
Yeah, well, because you live in Pittsburgh.
Okay.
And we bleed black and gold as a family.
I was like, Mom, I love the Dolphins. Like, can I please get a Miami Dolphins hat? And she's like, no. Caitlin gets one. And I was like, great. She's going to go out with the guy that I'm meant to be with. This is perfect. This is amazing. So she comes to school with her Miami Dolphins hat. I'm like, can we share it? Like, we're both talking about how we like love the Miami Dolphins, okay? Mom runs into hey Mom, I want to talk to you about this later. Mom runs into the mother of the boy I have a crush on, okay? And she's like, "Oh my god, my daughter has a big crush on your son." Like tells her, okay? I'm like, Mom, if someone came up to you and told you that their son had a crush on me, you would have told me immediately. So imagine that she probably did the same, by the way. Thanks right. a lot. Snitches get stitches. But okay. So then the she's like, yeah, and she's, they're all pretending that they're into the Miami Dolphins because he's into the Miami Dolphins.
And you're like, Mom, another gripe. I'm not pretending.
Mom, again, I got to talk to you later. What the hell? If you're hearing this, call me. The mother goes, Miami Dolphins? No, he likes the Miami Hurricanes. He doesn't like the Miami Dolphins. We didn't realize there were like two different, is one of them a college team? I still don't know.
I think that maybe they are, what are they, I don't know. But like, that's still not what I was talking about with Pittsburgh.
Okay, but can you listen to my story for like a second?
Yeah, that's the Miami College team. Okay. The University of Miami, they say.
That's what he liked. And he was wearing a hat with the Miami, it's the same colors, is my point.
Green and orange.
It's the same.
No, it's not.
What is Miami Dolphins colors?
Turquoise and
it's the same
orange.
Fucking shit. Oh my God, it's the same thing. It's actually maybe
listen. Hey, I can't
thing.
See the hat, but it's like a forest green and an orange.
I'm pretty sure this hat was just like that U.
Yeah.
And like the whatever. Caitlin's hat though had dolphins on it. Like it was like a full blown Miami Dolphins hat that we started wearing.
So funny.
To make him think we were fans and we have a lot more in common than you think. And maybe now you're gonna want to take us on a big old date.
All three of us, and
we were sharing the hat, and instead. He doesn't like that team at all, actually. That's he likes so the Miami funny. Hurricanes, and we just are that fucking stupid. But it's like, hey, by the way, that's a definition of a pick me. And from that moment on, I said, you know what? I'm going to go back to calling my friends and saying, what are we wearing tomorrow, girls? And planning our outfits
right.
to match.
Like, totally.
That's really who I am. I'm not the girl that puts on the Miami Dolphins hat for her crush who likes the Miami Hurricanes.
Right.
It's just not who I am. And guess what? It never started a conversation because he doesn't like the Dolphins. So he never say, oh, my God, cool hat. I like the Dolphins, too.
No.
And we waited for it. We were like,
oh, my God.
Him.
You're like...
I'm not kidding, Phoebe. We thought when we walked into school with that, he was going to be like the girls of my dreams. Like, like we really
you
thought that was going to sell
guys,
it.
You guys holding it between your
one hand. We're like, oh, yes. Like, I mean, I probably was like scribbling in my notebook, like, oh, I love the Miami Dolphins. Like, you know that I was committed. We were committed to this. And he never liked that team. And Mom thought that was the funniest. And Anthony thinks that is the funniest fucking story. He's like, you idiot. I mean, I was in fifth grade, but it's like, I just was not meant to be a tomboy.
No.
And that really was the beginning and end of my pick me era.
And that's okay.
Phoebe's still in hers, but that's okay. I'm sorry, but you know who really is the ultimate pick me girl is? One, say it with me. One, two, three. Morgan from Big Brother. Morgod.
Oh, yeah.
Morgod, if you will.
Oh, my God. Wait. Okay. And let's.
Should
here
we
go.
Just talk about that first?
Because we haven't talked about the finale yet. And I know it's been a second, but we haven't talked about it. So.
Yeah, we're going to be like kind of quick about it because. What is there to really say at this point?
The crash out of all crash outs.
I was
I actually was like fearful.
It was astounding the way that he was yelling, and I was like, you know, he like yells like this at home,
and
in his parents' basement where he lives. You know, when his parents home to clean his room, that's how he fucking acts.
And I also just like,
Vince, by the way,
I hate when guys especially do it, but like,
control your. I'm sorry, don't call him Big Brother if you don't. You can't control your emotions. I'm
when like, when he's calling himself a loser and like he can't
like he's screaming.
Chuck did not like that.
No, he didn't. And you know what, Chuck? Neither did I.
And he's like. May as well be like hitting. He's if you guys didn't watch it, he is an elevated version of stupid.
And elevated isn't like on crack, like on steroids, on crack cocaine.
He's like I don't deserve to win.
Yeah, no. So this is what happens. Okay, so we're playing this game, and it all comes down to reading directions. And you, Phoebe, I need to tell you though that this like shook me to my core. Not me telling another story from fifth grade right now. But this shook me to my core because it reminded me of like,
oh, well, of course,
everything on my report cards. Like, you know how you'd get your report cards in elementary school and it would have like all these little like behavioral moments, mm-hmm. like that they could check boxes on.
Mine were like pleasure.
No,
a little weird.
That's not what I mean. I mean, they were like, it was like boxes of concerns. Oh. Okay. And then like you could check certain ones. So it could be like talkative or things like that. Mm. Like, you know what I mean?
And why is that a concern?
No, I know. Every single, as professional yappers, we just don't get why that's a concern, but okay. Every single time I got a report card, Phoebe, the things that were checked were the same, and it still sticks with me to this day. Careless errors and attention to detail.
Haste makes waste, so okay.
And Dad was always like, look, you can come home. Well, you can't really come home if you have a C, but in theory, you could come home with a C that you earned. Like, if I look at the test and I see that, like, you really did your best. I know you were studying. I can see your work. You earned this C and that was the best you could do. Then like, okay, if you come home with the C and it turns out you just like didn't read the directions fully or you didn't check your work, that's not, you're now grounded for a week. Like that was the energy.
Yeah.
And there was one specific test in fifth grade. Oh my God, what a fateful year for me, where it was fractions and like you had to write.
Wait, I think we just told the story.
Okay.
I'm not saying it in a mean way, but I do, because I told the story of my chemistry test.
Oh, where yeah. Okay. We did just tell it. But like, it's that feeling of like, okay, but the answers were right, but I didn't fully read. Now, I still think that was kind of bullshit what happened because like it was still the fraction. Like, give mm-hmm. me a fucking break.
It was like that. So that just in case you ever go on Big Brother.
No, Phoebe, I know. And I literally was like, I can't believe I had to learn a lesson and that's actually going to pay off. Like, because now I still do it.
And
I still skim instructions in such an insane way. And like the mistake that Vince made. And this is what I hate to say, because like Vince has OCD. And like, there were parts of him that I was just like, yeah, like I get it. But also like,
you need to be, you to need to be on okay show, you to need be on the show.
You need to be regulated.
Yourself.
You need to be able to handle it. Like,
and I think what was also really like scary and weird was when Morgan and Ashley came over to him.
Yeah. How he acted.
And they came in with, when they were like, they were laughing. They were all just like, at the end of the day, it is a game.
Well, Morgan was not laughing, I don't think.
No. The crash out hadn't happened yet.
Oh,
they came over to him to explain the directions.
Yeah, and they
thought it was going to be like, oh, I'm so stupid.
Even though he was already screaming during the game. He's like, it's fucking right! Like, screaming at it. Because the whole thing was he didn't read the directions, which it was a mistake both parties made. Ashley made the mistake too, but she was like using her brain. And she said, this is where it is. And it's really a woman versus a man thing. Sorry, but the man couldn't understand that something he did wouldn't have been right. Like, he's like, I didn't make any mistakes. There's not any room for error in my mind. This is right. The game must be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Ashley keeps doing the same thing as him. And she's like, I'm not getting it right. Let me go reread the directions and make sure I didn't misinterpret. We find out they were asking, you know, at the end of Big Brother is always like, on what day did this happen in the house? You kind of have to like be studying the whole time. They had both put them in the order of what the days that I don't remember, like it was
the numbered day, I think, that they went is what they were putting.
Yeah,
at first.
And then they were like, no, we don't want the numbered day, we want like the order, I don't know, something, whatever. But Ashley read it. She was like, I can't let Vince know that I just read that and learned something. So she kept it cool, redid hers, and wins.
It's also,
he never went back and reread the fucking directions.
It's not even just a woman versus man thing. It's also Ashley's lawyer stuff,
yeah,
and the fact that she And I just think that Vince was so sure that he was the best game player in every capacity.
Well, that's really
Ashley was so good at concealing her, like,
yeah, her intelligence.
Yeah.
And like he really believed, and I think that's really what I mean with like just not every man, of course, but like this type of a man who just is like, there's not a possibility that I'm wrong. There's not a possibility that you're smarter than I think. Like, yeah, like I've got a perfect read on everything. Mm-hmm. And so for that reason, I deserve to win. And there's like this, whatever. And Ashley, like even just looking back at clips, like Ashley seeing all the clips from during the Big Brother season of him talking about how she doesn't deserve to be here, like saying actually abhorrent things about her.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, oh my God. Like, right. I didn't know that it was like this, but it makes it even a bigger slap in the face to Vince that he lost to her, uh-huh. which I love.
Me
which
too.
I have absolutely love.
The look on
love.
His face when she said she was a lawyer, even though I am like, actually, like it's giving me flashback. Her speech, even though it was so good, but when she gets into that mode,
it
was giving me flashbacks to when she had her moment with Keanu.
Except for this was like so much better, don't you think?
Yeah, no, it was. But there was just something about her that I was just like, I don't know what I'm trying to say, but a couple of things I loved was the look on Vince's face when he found out she was a lawyer. That was awesome.
My God.
And then also when Morgan walked on stage and Rachel realized that Ashley was in the final two,
she was so
she
excited.
Made like this. There was the same look on her face as when she won. Big
I know. Brother. I know. She was so excited and so proud. It was so cute when Will votes for Ashley and he's like, this votes for my little girl. And then Julie was like, keep it a fucking secret, Will.
And I mean, like,
it's not too late for me to kick you off this goddamn stage.
It's like, Julie, shut the fuck up. But also,
Julie looked slutty on finale night. I love when Julie's slutty. I'm like, you know, you could have been a bad
too.
Bitch.
I loved that Lauren switched up.
Thank God. If she had voted for Vince, I would have literally been like, and I'm done with
I
you and never want to see your face
if,
again.
If there was an opportunity for Rachel and her to kind of have a heart to heart in the jury house where she was like, do you understand what I was saying? Like, he ruled your game.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I wonder if Lauren was like, you're right. Like, he did. And I didn't realize that at the time because I thought I was playing a good game. And I was so blind in my alliance to him that I couldn't listen to what you were saying at that time.
So now let's talk about outside of the house.
Mm-hmm.
Vince and Morgan have not spoken. Can you
he is diabolical.
Actually a psychopath. I'm sorry.
So and Kelsey, get out of there.
The fact that we see them on a pap walk. Also, like, no Big Brother character is ever really being posted about by TMZ.
Vince, why are you calling?
But like, don't be out with him, Kelsey.
No.
Don't be out with him when he gets back. Like, that's a phone call. I'm sorry. You don't deserve to see me in person until, like, I decide you deserve to see me in person. You
especially can call me if you're coming home empty-handed.
Well, he's coming home with $70,000. Oh, right. Which, when Julie... Also, it was, like, all of his responses. He looked so sloppy and grody, and all of his responses pissed me off. When Julie was, like... when she was, like, how do you feel? You're going home with $70,000. And he was, like, well, it's the most money I've ever made in my life. And I was, like... Ew, like, first of all, ew, that you're saying that. Like, also, you just say, I'm so excited. I'm so grateful to have made it this far. Like,
well, just like, you know, his hair was greasy. He wasn't in a suit.
Fucking Patagonia, whatever.
Like, why are you doing that?
And then mangy, for
all his answers, every time someone asked him a question, they were like, why did you do this? That like kind of screwed everybody over. And he's like, I didn't do that.
I know. Or I took zero accountability. And that's the thing that I really believe. If you go in this game
can turn a jury.
And you fucking act like the way Vince acted,
mm-hmm.
obviously he did not play a great game, but he did get to the final two.
Right.
So let's say you do that. All you have to do is show up to the jury and say, I did this to you. I did this to you. I did this to you. And here's why.
Mm-hmm.
I did this to
and
you.
And he couldn't do that.
And it was just a game, but I had to do it to get here. And I'm trusting that now as game players, you can see that and like vote on my merit as a game player. But he didn't do that at all. He completely was like, well, I don't feel like I manipulated any of you. And it's like, no, you didn't. It's OK.
And that's the game.
It's the game. But you have to. It has to have been a game move. It can't just be who you fucking are.
Right, exactly. Which it seems like it is.
Like, and yeah, I'm absolutely sure it's who he is. And the fact that he hasn't spoken to Morgan outside of the game.
She was his only vote.
I know. I mean, I'm disgusted by it. Like, and I don't know. I've heard in the rumor mill, there's word on the street that Kelsey has said as long as Vince has no contact with Morgan, she's willing to re-explore. And it's like, look, I get you guys were together for seven years, but like, he's a loser.
How did I just don't understand how you going didn't get for the him, ick Kelsey. For him.
And Kelsey's like actually a baddie. Like, you could go be with someone. Like, I'm sorry, go be free. Mm-hmm. Look at this as a gift. You know, that you learned this before you guys got married.
Go on Love Island.
Exact. Go do something. Go. You go be on Big Brother and win.
Yeah.
Like, come on. You know what I mean? I don't know. I just think it's crazy. I would never be able to. And also, like, you're going online and seeing edits of him with these other girls. And like, every time people talk about him, her name's going to be in the sentence. And like, you're okay with that?
I hate it.
You're forever branded as like who you are. And you're okay with that? Like, I don't want to judge. I understand that it would be like, I'm going to throw 7 years of my life away. But also, yeah, you are, because he did. Mm-hmm. He threw it away, not you.
Right.
You know, like, love yourself. I guarantee you Kelsey could be with a zillion guys who have more going on and who have made more than $70,000 in their life.
Mm-hmm.
Because also that's pre-tax, Vince.
Right.
Like, just go. How about just go get a job?
Right.
Go get a job with a salary and probably pre-tax. That would probably be what you get paid. You know what I mean? Like, I know it's your first job ever, so maybe not. But like, eventually, that's like, for someone at your age, that's actually not an insane amount of money to make in a, right. in a year, quote. You mm-hmm. know what I mean?
Totally.
Like, it's not like a crazy salary in 2025.
And I love that we see Ashley and she's like having microwave meals and like, yes. not, someone's like, you just won $750,000.
Yeah. I feel like Ashley, well, also, do they have the money yet? Because never forget Gabby Windy. Right. Where's my fucking money?
She won't let anybody forget.
That did make me a little awky, but it's okay.
Hey, I get it.
I mean, I get it, but also, do you really? Would you ever go on Watch What Happens and be like, I haven't got my money yet? And Andy's like, you'll get it, Gabby.
Yeah,
I would actually go home and drink bleach if that happened to me. If Andy Cohen like bopped me on his show and said, you'll get it, then you'll get the money.
Yeah. That's true.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Anyway. Hello, Road Warriors. As you know, I'm one of the great celebrators of Halloween. So when I suggest a spooky and spicy book in October, you got to listen. It's called House of Rain by New York Times bestselling author Harley LaRue.
We're both reading it.
Place bets on who will finish first.
And I can't believe how perfectly it ties into our girls. It's giving gothic horror, but with insane romance. So all you Arias out there are going to love it.
And it's also super spicy and romantic and spooky. So even if you're not an Aria, you're pretty much going to freaking love it.
We just started reading it and Caroline texted me at 3 a.m. last night telling me she literally couldn't put it down.
And I am dying to know Phoebe's thoughts because it's her first spicy book and I think she's going to be hooked. Phoebe, do you want to read the synopsis?
Yeah. Gothic, sapphic romance meets supernatural suspense on a remote island in the Pacific Northwest. As a night of forbidden passion opens a Pandora's box of dangerous secrets and dark magic in this sinfully spicy standalone novel by New York Times bestselling TikTok sensation, Harley LaRue.
Sheesh. Obviously, we want you guys to read along with us. So you can get a copy of House of Rain by Harley LaRue wherever books are sold in print and ebook.
And if you want to match us and get the gorgeous deluxe hardcover edition, it is available only for a limited time. So go grab yours before they're gone.
Now I need to talk about Diane Keaton dying.
Rest in peace.
Oh, my God. And you know what it makes me think of? The Family Stone and how we will be watching that soon.
Well, it makes me think of when
I... Did
you
ever watch it?
No.
Oh, my God.
It's Caroline's least favorite movie. But it makes me think of when I went to go see a movie called... I think it was The Book Club.
Oh, yeah. She's in that.
And...
She's in, like, every movie like that.
I went to go see it at the Robinson
Cinemark
theater,
yeah,
with Mom, KK.
Wasn't it like really
and Liney? The
raunchy?
First scene is a man giving a favor to a woman.
Giving a favor to a woman. That's our new way of saying cunnilingus. Ew. Is that the word?
Something like that. Well, it's like Cabaret. You're a very cunning linguist.
I know. I always say that. And then I'm like, if I say it fast enough, it'll sound right. You know.
And I was sitting next to KK.
No.
Yeah.
KK probably was like all in.
Oh, she loved it. She was like, wait, this is just a sex tape?
She's like, I thought this was a movie about book club. I was like, snooze. Okay, this is going to be an expensive nap. But now I'm wide fucking awake.
Literally.
She was like locked in for that, I imagine.
So funny. So that's kind of what I think of with dying. And hats,
of course. And The Godfather, of course. But Family Stone, I was just like scrolling through the TL and seeing all the posts about Diane Keaton, and like,
it's so funny that you can't wait to watch that after the way that I heard you talk about it last year.
I know
when you watched it for the first
time. No, it wasn't last year. The second time I watched it,
maybe
I watched it the year before. Here's the thing, though, like. It's just such a...
What's that, Nancy Myers?
Phenomenon.
It's like cozy.
Like, it's super cozy. It has like a Gilmore Girls vibe to it in the coziness of the house, and it's Christmas and all whatever. And then like every famous person you've ever heard of is in it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Ian McDermott is in it.
The actual Ian McDermott.
No, he's not.
Oh.
No, the guy that I was calling Ian McDermott from Hunting Wives is in it.
I still don't know his name.
I don't either, and that's okay, but that's... Dermot, it's like Dermot's like his first name.
Yeah, something like
Dermot
that.
Dermot McDermott. We're getting Dermot McDermott.
Perfect.
And famously, it's Dermot McDermott. Okay, Dermot, I'm an allergist. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what his name is, guys. I've seen movies he's in, and I'm supportive of him anyway. But I hate the Family Stone, but I also can't wait to watch it with you. And I think we're going to watch it at Thanksgiving. I think that's the time.
All right, and Dad loves it.
I know. Nothing is funnier than that. Us literally talking about how much we fucking like that. Mom's like, oh, I hate that movie. Dad walks in, Family Stone, I love that movie. Like, it is polarizing. You know who else loves it? Chloe.
And
which
I,
checks
and,
out.
And hey, Chloe, don't take any offense to this, but that does make
it
sense.
It checks out.
And it makes sense in the way that Dad like
everyone's just so nasty.
Maybe
it
like it like works for them,
but it's like
Dad and Chloe kind of have similar
right there, and I've always said that
they're kind of, you know what I mean,
they're kind of kindred spirits in a way.
Yes. Like they're both kind of
yeah, keep going. What they're both kind of what,
I don't know the word.
Yeah.
But Caroline
know
knows exactly what I mean.
No, anyway.
Yes, she does.
I can't wait to watch it with you. We're gonna have a great time. But you know what else, spoilers, never mind.
Okay.
I won't spoil it unless you want me to.
Nope.
Even though the movie's been out forever.
Whoever wants spoilers. And guys, please stop spoiling Wicked.
Guys, stop spoiling Wicked. Stop talking about the Tin Man. Ethan Slater, why did you post that? You're going to go to jail. You just probably broke an NDA in a major way for posting a picture of the Tin Man.
Oh, my God.
Just kidding. Guys, if you're...
None of it's CGI.
If you're feeling...
Can you believe that?
Yes, and I love that.
Me too.
Everyone say thank you, Barbie.
Mm-hmm.
For setting the standard there. I just need to say, like, if you're pissed off about Wicked, quote, Wicked spoilers, there's actually no such thing. The show has been out since 2003. The book's been around longer than that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not my problem that you aren't well read. Like, what?
Yes.
What? Stop crying about this. It's actually been around for a long time. All right. Let's just get into Salt Lake, okay?
I actually have notes.
You do? Oh my God, I love that.
I rewatched the most recent episode this morning.
Well,
dismissed as in it's none of your fucking business.
Next time anyone wants to bring up anything I've ever done, I'm going to say, well, that was actually dismissed. And they're going to say, what does that mean? I'm going to say, dismissed as in it's none of your fucking business. And that's all dismissed has to mean these days. Wait, first though, can we talk about the taglines? We never like went through them.
Oh yeah,
I'm gonna pull them up one second.
Mary has the best one.
I'm obsessed with Mary's and I love what they said on Watch What Happens. So Mary's is, I'm just here to eat, drink, and be Mary. And apparently this was one of the taglines they proposed for last season, and it was one of Andy's favorites, and they didn't use it, and so he's like so excited. It's perfect for her.
So,
because really, that is what she's
my favorite. I saw a TikTok or something, or a comment on TikTok that was like, I love that Mary is basically just watching the show with us.
100%. I love when
Angie says, you do French fries,
I do
franchise.
Mary goes, oh, that's good.
Well, first Mary goes, Heather, what did she say? French fries?
She's like, I need subtitles. Where are the subtitles for my show?
She's like, French fries? And Heather goes, she said, you do French fries, I do franchise.
And Mary.
Oh, that's good.
She loved it. Well, I love
She's like, that's my sister down there.
Yeah, the same for when, like, two episodes ago when they were like, yeah, Brittany just told Lisa that Angie said Lisa's like Jen Shaw. And Mary goes, shut up! And I just love that Mary's just truly an audience member with us. But okay, so the taglines, let's break them down. Heather, don't play me. I've got the receipts, proof, and the screenshots. Heather, we need another big moment.
Yeah, I agree.
This was a while ago and we're still banking on it. I'm kind of over it. It was iconic, but again,
so much has
happened since then. And like, maybe you need to think about being more iconic yourself instead of just attaching yourself to Lisa and hoping that that's going to carry you through the season.
Yes.
I know you're a producer, but you need some more lines. Okay. Meredith's cracks me the fuck up. Wait, something popped up. God damn it. Like, why is it impossible to read any sort of article on your phone?
Oh, it's terrible.
Wait, is this all right? Is this from this? Nope, this is last season. So that would make sense why Heather's
You're like, and Heather and another
Heather
thing.
Do a little better. Okay, wait. Okay, here we go. Heather's is worse. My nest is almost empty and this bird is ready to soar.
That's tough.
Okay. And we're going to take it back to your fight with Bronwyn, which I didn't think we needed to have.
Me either.
Like, I feel like Heather just hates Bronwyn, and she's so ready for anything Bronwyn says to be offensive, and Heather wants to take it that way.
100%, that's how I feel.
I really feel like that, because, I'm sorry, Bronwyn, like, trying to connect with Heather, and Bronwyn's a better woman than me, because she's putting a lot of effort into the Heather friendship. I would not be doing that.
Mm-mm.
With the way that Heather is acting.
Totally.
And the way that Heather, continues to show us. But at the same point, I'm like, if she's considered a producer of the show, maybe Bronwyn feels she needs to.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe Heather's really the one they feel like they need to cozy up to and not Lisa, but we just don't see it that way.
Mm.
But I don't know. I thought that was an overreaction from Heather.
Absolutely it was.
Like, I feel like you're saying I'm a bad mom and I don't want to spend time with my kids.
Heather, what?
Bronwyn was like, what? I wanted Bronwyn to be like, all right, I'm out. Like, you know what? I can't do this. Like, mm-hmm. Goodbye. Okay. Meredith Marks. While you drop lies, I'm dropping the beat. She says I'm dropping beats, but I think it would just in Meredith Marks speak, I'm dropping the beat would be amazing.
You know Brooks and Chloe love it.
Oh my God. I'm like, I've never seen a DJ so stiff, if that makes
sense.
She
is so fucking funny.
When she is like up there, I'm like, I also kind of missed when we like took this step into the world of DJ.
And that's why I'm like, this feels genuine.
I agree.
It's like you don't look like you're enjoying it, but you are.
No. And it's like, it's just like, cause you could have done anything. You've got the caviar brand. You've got whatever. Like, you didn't have to go into DJing, which makes me think you wanted to.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, and I am dying to see a Meredith Marks show, but
me
I feel like
too.
I want to be in like Utah, like Park City. Like, I want to be like,
or at the Unwell tour,
where she, as Phoebe told me, seemed to have taken her hearing aids out.
And she looks miserable. She looks absolutely miserable.
Brooks and Chloe are texting her like, mom, try to smile like a little bit.
You're on stage the whole time.
We can all see you. Meredith like doesn't even realize that.
Meredith's phone is in airplane mode.
100%. 100%. And you know what? Meredith is also in airplane mode.
If she has it with her. Part of me is like, she leaves her phone everywhere.
That's why it's like so funny, because in my mind, Meredith, like, she reads a lot older to me than some of these other women. And yet, like,
she's like the same age.
She's DJing. She's got these cool, trendy kids.
Mm-hmm.
Seth doesn't read as old as Meredith.
The scene with, she kind of has the feeling of like a Victorian ghost has taken
100%.
Over her body.
Yes.
But I loved the scene with Chloe when they're putting in Seth, when they're putting her up in the ceiling. Like,
yes.
I just love that their family is so goofy.
Yes.
It just, there's something about it that's like, wait, what?
The
and especially now that we've seen
crazy.
Brooks and Chloe in
Next Gen.
So you kind of see their relationship. Need the next season
need
now.
It, back. It was so good. And honestly,
and it needs to be 25 episodes.
I agree. And they need a full blown reunion. And I need Chloe to be
a cast member.
Like, move to New York.
I wonder. Yeah.
I mean, your parents are basically cast members and they don't live in New York. So why can't you?
You're in every episode.
Yeah. She's one of the prettiest people I've ever seen.
It like actually kind of pisses
she's
me
like,
off.
And the fact that she, and I love that she was like, Charlie, get the fuck away from me. Like, mm-hmm. I love the idea.
I know if they
had
started
that.
Dating, I would have been like, girl.
Did we ever talk about the Charlie thing? Like, and like who he's like mixed up with in New York?
It's not good.
Dude, it's really not good. It's like this crypto, what they called it, like a crypto torture house.
Isn't he related to, wasn't that also kind of tied to Georgia's boyfriend?
Yes.
That's what I thought.
Well, Georgia's ex-boyfriend is allegedly like a massive scammer. I don't really know the tea there, but Charlie is like in photos from like the FBI arresting some guy who's like in a robe because he like they basically kidnapped some guy to extort all of his crypto from him, and they were torturing him in the house.
Jesus Christ. Until
he hands it over his like crypto wallet, basically. And the police come and do a raid, get this guy out of the house. Charlie is on the street in the pictures talking to the guy in the robe. And then he gets on the phone and walks away as though he's like making a call to help this guy out.
Crypto is none of my fucking business.
Crypto is none of my business. And honestly, I don't think it's anyone's business at all.
No.
In the first place. Like, crypto is also, not real.
No.
Sorry. Just like space isn't real. Crypto is not real.
It's like, yeah, I have a million smallians.
What?
That's the currency in The Sims.
Oh, it is?
Smallians.
I was like, I think that's like a group of people.
No, Somalians.
I mean, Somalians is a group of people.
Yeah, but too. It's spelled... I might be saying it maybe not quite right. It's S-I-M.
Somalians, not Somalians, right?
Well, I guess, but I'm not going to say Somalians.
Well, you might need to. Because it sounds like you were just telling me that you like have a bunch of Somalians. And
no,
I was like,
I have a bunch of... I have a million Somalians.
Do you play Sims?
Sometimes.
I didn't know that about you.
I don't actually have a million.
Okay, well... Get your money up. All right, Bronwyn. If my closet had skeletons, at least they'd be well-dressed.
Yeah, I like that one.
It's good. Yeah, it's good. And I really, am loving Bronwyn this season.
I like her more this season. Her mom sucks.
Unbelievable.
It's like borderline Monica's mom.
I agree. I mean, I totally agree. And the fact that she's living in Bronwyn's house.
And she's acting like this.
These are the moments where, though, I do feel, although we all have our opinions about Todd, I believe that he really loves Bronwyn and that he's like, the reason he doesn't want Bronwyn's family here is because of how they treat Bronwyn. Mm-hmm,
I agree.
Like, I think that's, you know, I'm not trying to give him a pass for like his bad behavior, but I do feel because at first when I heard him talking about her family being there, I was like, Todd, okay, great. Like, you're being a dick again about her family being here. And then we meet her mom.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like,
I like what Bronwyn said about Todd, though, about like how he watched the season and he's making changes based on the behavior he didn't like seeing himself. I thought that was good too.
I wonder about, the one thing about Bronwyn is I do feel she's just so produced, like not by a producer, but like by herself. Like,
I
feel like she has carefully crafted who she wants to be. And I don't know. But when she was on Watch What Happens, she had Christian Siriano in the front seat, not Todd. Todd was in the back. And Andy called it out and was like, you know, you never see that. That usually the husbands want to be front row. And he was like, I kind of like that Todd was like, I don't need to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And because I didn't know if Andy would be like, why isn't he out here being supportive? But it's actually like, yeah, like, that's a good point. I'm imagining John Barlow like, no, I need to be, or Lisa being like, he has to be front
Lisa,
row.
I don't know if I see John being like, agree. I need to be up there.
Agree. But yeah, her mom got the story where she was like, the story where Bronwyn said, we went shopping and I was actively pregnant and my sisters had children.
Yeah, that was terrible.
She said, well, is this little baby going to be getting a gift too? And the mother said, no, she's not. Just like things like that.
It's
like
so shitty. And the way she talks, I mean, she's terrible.
Really terrible.
Okay. I couldn't believe some of what she said.
No, I couldn't. And the way Bronwyn just reacted to everything, I was just like, you could just see the pain. Like,
and it's like, how do you see Gwen, your grandkid, and still talk about that pregnancy this way?
No, I think it's insane. I think it's, she was like, you know how hard it was for me while you, it's
to
like,
to
are
hide
you
it?
Kidding me? Like, are you kidding?
Do you know how hard Bronwyn's still dealing with how hard it is?
Be alone and like have a baby and like have zero support from anybody.
And now you're fucking taking care of.
Yeah,
you're being taken care of. You and your husband are being taken care of.
Yeah, and you're still
acting
like this?
And you're also making her feel shitty about where she's, quote unquote, getting the money from.
I know.
What if she married a rich young guy? Would you be talking about it like that?
And
still?
Then Bronwyn's like, yeah. No, I do get my money from Todd. Like, yes.
And I'm really lucky. It's awesome.
And you're welcome, by the way.
Yeah, literally.
Like, you're benefiting from it, you fucking bitch.
I feel like she brought the drinks over, too, and the mom was like, it's not that cold. I feel like she said that.
I might have missed that, but like, I wouldn't be shocked. And then, like, her shirt, I was like, are you, like, what?
What
I'm
is
getting
going
such
on?
Because your shirt's giving, like, I'm fun. No, you're fucking not. Your shirt is also not giving Bronwyn Newport's mother, but okay. You know we're filming. Go raid her closet. She would let you. And she'd be like, just tell me you love me, Mom, and I'll let you wear whatever you want. You can keep it.
It's devastating.
It is. You know what made me LOL, though, is Gwen and her boyfriend saying we're going to bowling and that they keep saying this to Bronwyn and there's no bowling. Bronwyn's like, they keep doing this. I don't know where they're going. And they're like, oh, we have bowling. And Bronwyn's like, they're not going bowling. Like, they say they're on a bowling team. And they're like, bye, like, we're going bowling. And they're not going bowling. I think that's, like, a hilarious thing.
So funny.
They just, like, started saying that to her. And she's like, I don't know where they're going, but they are not bowling. Okay. Angie. I'm Greek and the rest are just a tragedy.
That one doesn't land for
me. Wait, I feel like it eats. Maybe because it's all about theater.
But I just don't think it actually, like, the verbiage of it doesn't work for me.
Why? I'm Greek and the rest are just a tragedy.
Yeah, it doesn't work for me.
Why?
There's something, it just doesn't sound right in my brain. But I'm also like, was her tagline Greek last time too?
Yeah.
I'm a little bit like, I think we can.
I
love it about her. Listen, I love being proud of where you're from. Yeah. We all know that.
Oh, Phoebe bleeds black and gold.
But all I'm saying is, I think tagline wise, if mm-hmm. she, because I do think last year, or maybe it was a glasses thing. She yeah. did, but like, I think in the show it's awesome and I love seeing how proud of it she is. And I was sad when Electra like didn't care. Electra about her.
Like, why are you like making this your whole thing? Like, why are you?
I know, I didn't love that.
Doing that in front of the cameras is so shitty. And it's like, I know she's like a little girl, so it's like, whatever, but not a little girl. But
well, it's like
I mean,
when the girl gets to that age, like, that's exactly why they showed us that clip, because yes. Angie was like, she's just getting to that age
or
where
she's
like,
just like, I'm not cool to her. And like, she's.
And I'm like, hey, Electra, Angie is cool.
Fall in line. You're lucky.
Angie K is like she's
the cool one right
she's
now.
Center snowflake.
Although here, okay, I have to say, I'm getting nervous.
Me too. For two reasons. You go first.
Well, I'm nervous that she's gonna have like, I know it's not her second season, but it's her third. Well,
maybe.
She's
like, a friend of first.
Yeah. But you know how they say like the second season curse. Mm. So like Jesse Solomon, for example, in Summer
right.
House,
mm-hmm.
you have a really great first season. You get comfortable. You come in hot again. And it's like, and now.
And hey, by the way, Jesse Solomon, stop walking around New York singing and bothering people.
Okay. I don't like any of your songs.
No, you're not my
Google. And you're not a really good singer. And I'm sorry, but if like you act like you're like this type of guy and then you like are releasing like jazzy tunes. Like,
yeah,
you need to be releasing like cool music if you want people to like be into it.
I agree.
Sorry. Like,
it's like you would. But it's clear that he like went to school for like classical.
But it's like, you know, Kyle is a DJ. Allegedly, he could be playing your hits, but you don't have any.
Right.
You have no hits. You have elevator music.
Mm-hmm.
Like, come on. Anyway, my fear for Angie is that she may live to see herself become the villain this season. I don't want that for her and I don't want to manifest it for her, but I could see it happening.
I know what you mean. One of my fears is with the Mary thing. They seem like they're in a good place now
based on what Mary said on Watch What Happens. Mary would have let us know, mm-hmm. I believe.
But I am worried to see it. I don't want to see my sisters fight.
No.
But I'm also, and I wrote this down, when she's having her coffee meeting with Meredith.
Yeah.
I almost was like, this is verging on Lisa behavior.
I know.
When she at the end goes, well, here's what Lisa did this. And she told me, here's how you spell their name. And you look up all these people that have dirt on Meredith. And here's my other theory. So that's why I'm worried about Angie. My other theory about the show is that I think Meredith and Lisa have an understanding that is not on. We're never going to see it on camera discussed. But I think they have an understanding that like, they aren't going to cause problems for each other. Mm. And I have a couple reasons why I think that. This is one of them. The confessional where Meredith reacted to what Angie said at that coffee date felt kind of produced. Yeah. It felt like production was like, you need to like be like, I'm going to get to the bottom of this.
Yeah.
And then also when she, but she, what I was saying, she didn't seem that, she didn't seem that like, if Lisa had said Angie was doing that, it would have been another you can leave moment.
Yes, 100%.
She would have been so worked up. And we've seen her get worked up, which is why I'm kind of... And that's something she would be worked up about, typically.
Yeah.
And then also, at the Clarity lunch, of course.
Clarity lunch is
so
such
funny.
I will be hosting a Clarity lunch for my 31st birthday.
She's sitting next to Lisa and Brittany... Also, like, Brittany, why the fuck, why are you doing this? When she's like, and I kind of thought it was weird that Meredith didn't even really stand up for you, Lisa. God. And I noticed she didn't really stand up for you, Lisa.
I know exactly why Brittany's doing it, don't you?
She wants to be
Lisa's top dog. Yes. She wants to be Lisa's, and Lisa's down for it until you cross her, Brittany.
Yes. And she's
Lisa's like, you're an accessory. I'm going to put no energy into this relationship. Mm-hmm. And I know that you will fucking exactly. have my back to the end. And then I'll like throw you a little bone right. and that will be enough to keep you going.
100%. At the clear, when Brittany says that, Meredith like is like, I did stand up for, she says whatever she says, but Lisa doesn't press mm-hmm. on it. She doesn't ask follow-up questions. She's like, no, I know Meredith did what I would have wanted her to do.
I was like, that.
That's unlike Lisa also.
I know.
And when Heather brought it up at lunch that Meredith didn't really stand up for Lisa as much as she would have expected her to, Lisa was like, oh, I love when he wriggles.
I know, he's so cute.
It's uncharacteristic of them to kind of be acting that way, but because it's with each other, I'm like, I think they have mm-hmm. an agreement that we're just not gonna cause problems.
I could totally for each see other. That after the stuff they've had, because I feel like at the end of the day, they probably are real friends, mm-hmm. and I could totally see their families have been like, listen, we could burn each other to the ground. We're not going to.
Yeah,
like we needed, and here's the deal: if one of us takes one step over the line, we're going to fight to the death and it's going to be so ugly. Mm-hmm. So we're just not going to go there. I totally think you're onto something with that. And I also was thinking about how Meredith was like, well, I'm going to have to talk to Lisa about this.
Mm-hmm.
And her reaction wasn't immediately like, but here's the other thing. I 100% believe Lisa did that.
Oh yeah, totally.
I 100%. And so did everyone on Watch What Happens. Mm-hmm. I 100% believe Lisa said, Angie, blah, blah, blah. And I don't remember who asked it, but they were like, well, why would Lisa do that? She and Meredith were in a good place at that point. It doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
Lisa, it doesn't matter if Lisa is your best friend.
Totally.
She's going to do what Lisa's going to do.
And Mary's right. Like, she is just like a gossip, I think, at the end of the day. That's all.
And she wants to be top dog. Mm-hmm. And I think at the end of the day, she doesn't want to see anybody doing better than her. And I'm sorry, but Meredith is creeping into icon status. Well, totally. She is an icon, but Lisa probably feels as though she's the only icon. People might be trying to steal her right. her light. And Lisa knows how she's been appearing. So mm-hmm. I wouldn't be shocked if that fully happened.
And also, to be clear, I also think Meredith did enough at the camping, I thought, to kind of... She was like, I don't think we should be talking about this with Lisa not here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she couldn't be like, those lawsuits don't exist.
Yeah.
So she was like, but it's inappropriate for us to be having this conversation.
Yeah, I guess, like, what else would she have said? You know? I don't know. Okay, Whitney, roses are redheads, violets are blue. Don't come for me or I'll come for you.
Terrible.
The redhead thing, I'm like, okay, but now you're actually just taking Bobby's whole redhead thing and making it entirely mm-hmm. about you.
And you don't even have red hair.
Which is gonna give another reason for people to make fun of Bobby. FYI.
And again, like, it's the...
And also...
That scene with
Brittany...
No, well, that we'll get to, but the scene with Justin when they're setting up the stripper pole, and
I miss
I'm
when
like,
people said Whitney Rose has a stripper pole in her house.
I'm just like, Whitney, do you remember when your husband lost his job?
Yeah,
because you guys of did the shit sexy you were doing twister? On TV.
I think she's just like there. I feel like scrambling in such a major way that they're like, all right, well, let's just bring it on.
Fair enough,
you know, like because they need money. I think, yeah. And it's just like that's what I they do, have to do.
Listen, guys, Whitney is my least favorite. Well, Brittany's an icon enough that she's kind of like up there.
Yeah.
But she's not like, I don't actually want to hang out with Brittany.
No, no, no.
Whitney's like, you guys know how I feel about her.
Yeah.
Haven't been able to stand her. This season, I have actually thought she's pretty based.
Yeah.
And also, I like how she talks about her business. And she's like, it failed. She annoys the fuck out of me. Mm-hmm. But I like that she's like, yeah, it failed.
Well, she's like, no one can use this against me mm-hmm. because I'm coming out with it. So like, first episode, I'm going to talk about it. You're all going to know. And good fucking luck trying to find anything to hurt me on this show because, like, I'm putting it all out there.
It's her personality I don't like, which is what I'm realizing. It's not always just her behavior. Because even when but I can say that I think I've liked her behavior a lot more this season so far. And an example of that is her conversation with Brittany.
I completely agree.
And
with
even
you.
Mom was like, that was. And mom was like, it felt real.
It didn't feel also like a gotcha moment or like she was like, oh, you're going to look so bad on TV. Like it seemed like she was coming to her and I mean, grabbing her by the shoulders and saying, Brittany, look at me. Do not ruin this chance because we know Brittany's ruined it in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And she's looking at her and saying like, just be there for your daughter.
It's your kid.
Like, and she has got to come first. And also, I'm sorry, if Jared is worth it, and he's not, but if Jared is worth it, and if Jared is the man that you're supposed to be with, he will understand and actually mm-hmm. probably like you more for it. It's your availability, Brittany, that is making you such an option to right. him. You exactly. know what I mean? Like, it's the fact that you are so obsessed, you're okay with somebody proposing to you, fully being engaged, announcing an engagement, scaling it back, but continuing to be with you and uh-huh. fuck you. You're okay with that. And you're okay with that taking the place of a daughter in your life.
Yeah.
Who already you fucked it up with. So like last season, you're like, I'm trying to make it better. Guys, I have an announcement. Things are better. Like, do you actually give a fuck? Like, right. are you okay? She actually is concerning to me.
I agree. And I back to what you said about the this not being like a TV, like she didn't want to make a moment yeah. for TV. Whitney didn't. I think she was almost having a moment of like, you're on TV acting like
I know,
this.
I know.
Like this, what you're saying, and your daughter's going to be able to see that you are like mm-hmm. saying what you're saying.
And then Brittany goes, I'm just so horny. Brittany, are you okay?
Are you crazy?
Like, I can't believe that you're hearing the things that Whitney's saying to you and this is how you're responding. It was shocking to me.
What else?
But it was a good moment for
Mary. Do we have any more?
I mean, for Whitney. Yeah, so we did Mary's already.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to say something else. Oh, yeah. I do want to just revisit Mary really quick because what happened to Mary? Like,
she slayed. I watched what happens.
Yeah. And like in general, like there has been such a dramatic shift in Mary in the last two seasons.
She's wonderful.
She is. And like,
and I actually, and I know her church is questionable. I know we don't really have a ton of details, mm-hmm. but I thought that was a really enlightening conversation to see her have and like
yeah.
speak to. We'd never get to really see people that are a part of Mary's life.
Yeah.
And the way that she talked about her grandmother mm-hmm. or her mom or whoever was like
her
excommunicated
to her now because,
and it's nice to see how Mary be passionate about stuff.
Yes.
And like she actually is passionate about it. Whereas yeah. like, sorry, Lisa, like I don't believe tequila is really like your passion.
No. I think Lisa Barlow is Lisa Barlow's passion.
1,000%.
But I just feel like Mary, I'm like, it almost is giving like she medicated in a different way or something. Like, and I don't mean that as a dig, but I just, in the first few seasons, she was so out of pocket and she was so out there, but like not in a, I mean, she was iconic, but it wasn't like in a good way.
She wasn't self-aware.
Yeah. And it was just like, she would say things that were like calling Heather fat and yeah. things like that. Like there were things that were just like, what the fuck? Like, are you like, and it almost just felt like, what are you doing here with these women? Even though the show is actually centered on her.
Mm-hmm.
Now it feels like she's like, okay, I get what we're doing here. I'm good
and
to
she's
go.
It's just surprising that she's been able to find her finger on the pulse. You know what I mean? And what it's
very
really
is like, I just keep being like, what happened to
yeah,
her? Like
I love her.
I mean, she is honestly such a delight to see on my screen. Her storylines are compelling. They're moving. Like, I like her friendship. So, I mean, she is still Mary though. Like she's uh-huh. kept all those things, but she's really turned a corner and it's interesting to see. All right, Lisa, it is. I don't go low. I go the distance.
Sorry. I like it.
I guess, but
you just don't like Lisa anymore.
She's hard to like right now.
I didn't mind her this episode except for a couple places she lost me.
The lone
me.
Wolf thing?
Yeah. She
Are
lost
you
me
kidding?
There. She lost me there. I thought her conversation with Bronwyn was pretty good.
Yeah, I did
except
too.
Except for, and I wrote, this is one thing that it's similar to when I thought the conversation Angie and Meredith was having was pretty mm-hmm. good until Angie brought that Lisa thing up.
Yeah.
I thought this conversation was really good and Bronwyn seemed super genuine and Lisa felt pretty genuine too.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was that part where it felt produced when she knew exactly what Bronwyn said on the text
I know.
To her after they had the conversation at the nail salon.
Yeah.
Like, they show us the text and you basically said it yeah. verbatim.
And how many times have you talked about this to other people, Lisa, and said the exact
It was
text?
Like you wanted, it was like you were a lawyer and you were like showing yes. evidence to the audience.
It was giving Ashley on Big Brother.
Yeah.
Sorry. No, it totally was. And for me, Lisa, in this episode, I really appreciated the conversation between her and Bronwyn. Here's the thing. We're at the Clarity lunch, which
right.
was
crazy.
Lisa also, like, she's so unregulated. And, like, the way that she just starts fucking screaming at mm-hmm. people, like, she loses she all go, power.
She goes from there, and then she's sitting at the table crying.
I know.
And it's like, Lisa, I think like, you need to be in therapy.
She does. And this is the thing. Like, I mean, this is coming from someone who is, like, I'm admittedly not, like, the most regulated person, and I freak out. But I'm also, like, actively trying to, like, get better about it. And, like, I'm doing the things that I need to do, and I'm on medication, and I'm, like, you know, whatever. Like, as so many people are, it's such a normal thing. And I do feel like Lisa, this is me putting words in her mouth, but I feel like she's the type of person that would be like, and I don't like do that. Like, I don't need that, you know, whatever. Obviously she's weaponized Meredith's use of pills in the past. So it's like, I'm like, Lisa, it seems like you need a beta blocker or something, because your quickness to respond in such an emotional way is literally losing you points around the world. Like
100%.
Everyone hates you right now because of the way that you're acting. When you started out as such an icon, it's like, you don't have to like behave like this. And you know what I mean?
I just don't understand the co-signing.
It's the accountability thing.
And I don't understand why Heather feels the need to co-sign all of it. Like,
it drives me nuts.
When they were at the Clarity luncheon and Heather was like, Lisa, I just felt like you were totally unfairly attacked.
If Heather wasn't doing what she's doing with Lisa, I would actually like Heather.
I guess.
It is her relationship with Lisa that makes me like, what is your fucking deal?
What just gives like a girl really wanting to be friends with the mean girl.
Yes,
and it's just
exactly.
Like,
and it's like, God, I want you to like have been evolved past that. I just feel like, because also then it puts into perspective, and this is, I mean, I'm going to go deep here, but it puts into perspective her body transformation. Like, you're getting so thin, you're doing all this work on yourself, you're blah, blah, blah. Instead of it making me look at you like you're this empowered woman who's like taking your life and you're like, this is the life I want to live, this is how I want to be.
Right.
It still feels like I want to fit in with the popular girls. And in order to really do that, I need to be thin, I need to be beautiful, and I need to have, you know, unwavering loyalty to the queen bee. And yeah. It's just like, I want you to be doing those things for you and not because you think it makes you fit in. And I understand. I mean, I can't understand because being on TV, you know, whatever, but still it's like, those were the things we liked about you, Heather, that you were like real. And now it's like, you're trying as hard as you can to not be who you are to totally. Fit in with these people. As far as Lisa though, I just didn't understand. Like, we get to this point where we're making amends at the table. Also, her ability to switch on a dime is crazy. Like, if I were having the lunch with people, I wouldn't be able to also issue apologies and make amends at that lunch. Mm-hmm. I would like need a day to like, you know, whatever. But her ability to do that and then the next day send her assistant to pick up all the Lone Wolf products from Angie's shop and then send her a thing saying like, I Venmo'd you and I'll send my cleaners to clean up all the dust in your studio.
I didn't get it at all. Why'd you do that?
Angie's reaction felt totally valid to me until she brings up the last thing at the lunch with Meredith. But like that whole reaction to me, I was like, I would also be like, wait, what? Mm-hmm. Did we not just make up at the lunch? Was all of that fake? Like, and so who are you really? Like, what is your actual deal? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I think those are all my thoughts on season 6 so far. But do you have anything else to add before we scoot on?
No, I'm good.
Okay, let's take a quick second. I have a theory about Dancing with the Stars. So obviously, Lauren from Fifth Harmony was eliminated and people believe it was quite unfair. And when she was asked about it, they were like, how do you feel? And she's like, I'm pissed.
Mm-hmm.
I think the way to actually win Dancing with the Stars socially, you have to have a moment like that. If you're getting eliminated early, think about Anna Delvey. Think about like these things. Like, I feel like you have to take that mic moment and say something. And it's okay if it's bitter and it's okay if it's whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you get your moment on Dancing with the Stars if you don't go far.
Right.
Do you agree?
I agree. Because I heard about it. So
I know. I think that's totally the way. And also, just for anyone who is worried about Alex, Earl, and Braxton, they're good to go. They just went on their first date night of 2 months. I think she's killing it. I think Whitney could take it.
That's what I'm hearing.
And here's the thing. All these people who were like, it's not fair, she has a dance background. Charli D'Amelio was just on, and I think she won.
I think she won, too.
So, like, chill.
Yeah.
Chill. It's not the same. Charlie's currently, not right now, but was currently, like, on Broadway.
Mm-hmm.
Whitney's a mom of three. Like, it's not
she just had
the
kids.
Same. Yeah, like, she's actually killing it. I'll give it to her. Did you see the Southern Charm trailer?
Oh, my gosh. Also, it was kind of giving OK Summer House wannabe.
It was giving Summer House wannabe. It was giving early Southern Charm.
It was. And I'm like, and it's because all of them are single and Austin's at least acting single.
Oh, well, yeah.
And I'm like, Sally, I knew you annoyed the fuck
out
of me.
This is who you were. I knew this is who you were, and you were on The Bachelor, bitch.
Dude, yes.
Never forget her weird ass Bachelor
attention-seeking,
fame hungry.
When Vanita's like, I don't like Craig Conover. And she goes, I don't want to stop hanging out with Craig. Which, like, granted, I need context. I need to see what's going on here.
Totally.
I have a feeling Craig, this is going to be a bad season for Craig.
For sure.
Because he's heartbroken.
And he's single.
And he's drinking. And he's single.
It's not going to be good.
He's going to be, this is, and this it's like, season
if
could
you
burn
can
him to the ground.
One thing from dating Paige, like, think about how much better we how all liked you when you were not drinking
how
much
as better much. Your life was. I bet he is attributing it all to Paige. And I bet that's everything in his life. They're all like, well, people were feeling that way about you because of Paige. No, no, no. And honestly, so smart of Paige to do the breakup and then leave so that her the aftermath of the breakup doesn't have to be shown on television, mm-hmm. even though she has confirmed she's dating that guy, by the way. So Caroline was right and is vindicated. Yes. I know not just me, but there are lots of people who are like, no, she wouldn't do that.
I didn't. Well, we didn't want her to.
We didn't want her to, of course. But yeah, she's dating that guy. But anyway, whatever. I don't care what she does. Love her. But the thing is with Craig, I'm like him being on reality TV right after that is just like such a bad mix. I can't wait though. Like it's
them
gonna
in their
be
fucking
crazy.
Costumes.
Madison looks like she is giving this season.
Oh, I love her. I love her. And I love that she was able to take Catherine's spot as the narrator.
I know.
Wait, was it Catherine that was narrating?
I feel like it was. You know, Catherine was just arrested again.
No.
Yeah. I think it was a DUI or something.
I just like, I do just wish the best for her.
I know. It's hard. It
and
really
I just
is.
Think T-Rav ruined her fucking life.
And that's a really good example of the thing that, sorry, I'll give it to Nick Vile because he's the one who like really started saying it. But like when you are young and you're like, oh, whatever. It's a, I mean, I was like this. It's a chapter in the memoir. Do whatever. Like do it for the story.
Mm-hmm.
You can really fuck up your life is all I'm saying. Like you get involved with like you see T-Rav out at a bar one night and you hook up and whatever. And you're
you
like,
see dollar signs
and you're
going to
keep doing it because you're on a show and all these things. And then you have all these kids with him and now he's completely ruined your fucking life. Like not to say that like Catherine was with it before that.
Right.
But at the same time, it's such a good example of like you might think it's all fun and games until it is fucking not. And mm-hmm. if you get a sign that it's a bad situation, listen to it. Don't just be like, oh, well, I'll just keep being messy because I'm young and like nothing matters. Hey, it matters. Yeah. You can actually put yourself in a prison sentence 1,000%. By like just fucking around like that. So I think she's a great cautionary tale, especially in Charleston. We see it all the time. I mean, T-Rav was like out and about. You'd run into him at bars all the time.
Yeah.
People would do it. And it's just like, okay.
Right.
You could learn from these other people, but.
But it looks amazing. Austin, I'm like, is he with that girl?
No, he's not now. Because remember, last time he was on Watch What Happens,
he was kind of weird about it. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he was like, you'll have to watch. But like.
Right. Mm-hmm. I remember now.
And it's like, okay, so you were just in that relationship because Craig was in a relationship with Paige and you didn't want him to be better than you.
And also like, now you got your boyfriend back.
Yeah, exactly. Except for Austin says at the table that he fucking hates Craig.
Yes.
Like, but it's like classic. You guys love to say that about each other.
I love when they fight.
I know. It's funny. Sorry. Mm-hmm. It cracks me up and it cracks mom up too, which cracks me up. Mom's like, they are funny. And I'm like, yeah, they're being vicious to each other, but you're right. They are funny. And I'm sorry. Hey, if Sally's going to be a fucking cunt to what's my girl's name? Molly.
Uh-huh. Well, it's
I'm gonna show up in Charleston and teach Sally a lesson.
Yes.
Back off of her. I love Molly. Goes, you're such a fucking bitch all the time. You're a bitch all the time. Like, I loved it because
yes.
It's true, and I can't wait to see what warranted that behavior.
I love what John Hamm said about Southern Charm, and he's like, all the reality shows are all women and fighting and all that stuff. It's nice to have a show that is just the men fighting, even
completely.
Though we get plenty of the girls fighting, but like. It is mainly like these guys who are allegedly like best friends for life.
Yeah.
Just fucking.
And it really
going
is something that like
other.
You kind of, I'm sure there are other cities like this, but you're kind of getting it because it's Charleston. And this is how men in Charleston act. The Peter Pan syndrome in Charleston is really unmatched. And like, that's what this is.
Right.
That's what we're watching. And also we just don't get to see men who are so unaware of the cameras around them.
Uh huh.
Like they just let loose. They live in the mom. You know what I mean? Okay, finally, I do just want to talk about SNL last night. Because why was it like a total dud?
Mom and Dad said the same thing.
Did you watch it?
I watched parts of it. I didn't think it was amazing.
The first sketch was painful. It was the Rudemans. Have you seen this?
Yes, that was the... Yes,
like,
yes, yeah.
What?
Yeah, yeah.
It was way too slow. The pacing was so slow.
I thought the goth one wasn't funny. The only thing that made me actually laugh out loud
was the cold open.
Was when Tina Fey came on as Christy Gnome. I did not recognize her.
I didn't.
Because everybody started cheering. And I was like
wondering, because I was like, of course it's Tina. And then I was looking at her. I was like, is that Tina?
The
like
lips, she looked,
the lips, the hair with the eye contacts.
I mean,
the accent.
She sounded just like Christy Gnome.
She was great.
And I loved her little
Amy
ice
was funny
commercial.
As Pam Bondi too.
I didn't watch all the cold open. I only saw when hold my gun.
yes. No, Tina.
She's like, you want to be a big strong man? Put on some Oakleys and join ICE.
She's like, and they do. No, she was hilarious, and Amy was funny as Pam Bondi. Like she was, they were like, all right, we have to have you back here because you didn't answer a single one of our questions. And she goes, and I'm not going to answer them again. She starts making like faces, like whatever. And then someone asks a question and she's like, and I just want to say, and she's like, I have a list right here of all the insults I'm going to say instead of answers.
Wait, dude, that was okay. That actually happened in the hearing. Like she had a binder every time a Democrat senator got on the mic.
She'd go to her insult binder.
She'd literally be like, okay, you were best friends with Epstein's friend.
Yeah.
What's that about?
Literally.
You're asking me about my job?
You have to watch Amy doing it. It's funny because I was like, I also was like, how much of this is Amy and how much of this is like
one of my favorite Pam favorite, obviously not really, but like one of my favorite things about how she speaks. Mm-hmm. And by that, I mean like it's embarrassing and funny.
Yeah.
And she'll be like, Mr. Senator, I am offended.
It's giving Busy Phillips and Freaks and Geeks. Like the way that she,
it's giving a high school girl who's like trying to like make it an argument. That's
exactly.
I kind of wish we had gotten a Jenna Bush Hager impression from.
Hey, the season is young.
Miss Amy. No, but Miss Amy.
Yeah. But it was cool too when they had for Weekend Update, Seth and Tina
Amy. But it wasn't funny.
Phoebe, I agree. I was like, this could have been so much better.
I'm like, get Jost and Shay off the stage.
I know. Let them just, why don't we just let Amy have it? Like,
yeah.
Amy, Tina, Seth, and then I thought it would have been hilarious to have Jost and Shay come out as characters.
I agree.
But I don't think Shay would ever do it. No one in SNL listens to us.
But also,
you thought it was going to be Lauren.
Oh my goodness.
How wrong you were.
It was the real diva. But they had just met for the first time in Paris Fashion Week.
I do think it's so funny though that you were like, And I'm not putting this on you, but like you were so sure.
No, I wasn't sure. I was hopeful.
I didn't see it anywhere else. I didn't see anybody else.
No.
About
but
that.
All of Role Models fans on TikTok were like,
okay,
ranking of who's gonna be Sally on SNL.
Oh my god! They're like obviously they like Bo and Ye.
They were like obviously it's probably gonna be Amy. Bowen's already done it. Seth Meyers could come up and do it. I mean, I did see one list where Charlie was on there. Because they had just met and they kind of have like fake beef online.
Oh, I didn't know.
And it's so funny that Charlie engages with it.
Well, that is Charlie's whole thing.
No. But I mean, like, she's in on the joke with him. Like, she seems like she would try to be, like, too cool for it.
Yeah, true.
And she doesn't with it. Like, they did this whole video where he's like, that's my ring on your finger. Like, his thing is, like, he wants to date George.
And
he's like, that is my ring on your finger. And she's like, no, it's fucking not.
It's my husband, George. I want to dance with George for the rest of my life. Everything's romantic. Okay. Well, let's finish it up with some rotations. I know this is a super reality heavy episode, but even if you don't watch, first of all, you need to start. You need to start now. But second of all, it should have still been enjoyable for you because it's sort of like anthropology.
I think this was a blast.
I had a blast. Hope you had a blast. Let's get into our rotations. I'm on Dream. And, okay, first up on my Dream rotation is Scrunchie. Have I already put Scrunchie on there?
I don't know.
I don't think I have. But I've really been having a good time on Ghost Tours with Scrunchie the doll. And I will be doing a Scrunchie reveal once all the Ghost Tours are over.
Mm-hmm.
My last Ghost Tour is the weekend before Halloween. So then that week I get to post a spooky pic of me and Scrunchie. But I am like, do I need to put a trigger warning? Because
it like blurs on Instagram.
You know,
it's like
literally,
sensitive content.
I'm like, yeah. But I want the first picture to be a slam dunk. So who knows? Okay, that's the first thing. Oh, The next thing is all of the little babies I saw at Trax Farms yesterday. Oh, I know we don't put children, but the concept of a little baby in a pumpkin patch like we used to be. And I also was like, there was like a moment where it was like, okay, is it going to be me, Kelly, Mom, and Phoebe at the pumpkin patch?
And are we going to get in the pumpkins and take a picture?
Mom didn't come. Phoebe didn't come. And we were like, oh, we were like sad. And then we like got there. And then like a half an hour in, I was like, you know what? This is probably for the best, because if Mom was here, we would have already been photographed 500 times and we would be standing on top of the pumpkins and like, I don't know what the pumpkins would be doing underneath
We'd be in that my
we're covered in pumpkin juice because we were just like, oh, they're all breaking.
That playground, though, I loved with the it had such good, I feel it wasn't the corn pit. Where you could go sit in corn, kernels of corn.
Oh my God, I forgot about the corn pit, of course.
But it has similar texture, this playground. Oh, I loved Trax. I used to just like play and play and play.
Oh my God, it was so fun. Well, they were doing like their full fall fest. They had everything going on.
Oh, fun.
Got an ice cold fucking cider. So yummy.
Oh, that sounds amazing.
The kettle corn, you know.
Oh, that one was the best on the ride home.
I know. Oh, here we go. He's doing his business.
He's not going to the bathroom, guys.
No, we say business when like Chuck just sort of is like doing his rounds. Come like here. He starts pacing around a little bit crazy, can't find a place to get comfortable, walks all over as though he's like looking for something. He'll sit down and then he'll get right back up.
He's like, well, if you're going to fucking talk about it,
yeah,
I'll exactly. Just sit down.
Kelly and I also showed up to Trax wearing the exact same outfit.
Well, of course.
We were wearing the like the exact same shirt.
Of course.
One of those like Halloween collage shirts I have, not our merch, which is still available, by the way. And I'm loving, this is by far our best merch drop and people are fucking loving it. And all the merch I've seen on people in person, it looks so good. So like, yes. You can still be getting it. Okay. And then the last thing on my dream rotation is the phrase, hello, sister.
Guys, we watched the finale, but we did kind of fall asleep.
We watched the finale late one night together. We didn't do like our full note taking session yet. I am gonna talk about it more on Thursday, which is our finale day. But I am like, I'm like,
Caroline is concerned by the accent.
The accent was so were you. The accent was so much worse than I like had such high hopes for this accent,
which is crazy.
No, it isn't. You're acting like a different person right now. We're on air. You're acting like a different person because you were like, no, I know the accent's terrible. And you expected more from Troy and Belisario. Yes.
Oh, I agree.
We couldn't get a dialect coach for one. I know we didn't have one for Emily the whole time, but we couldn't get one for the last episode. Oh, my God. Hello, sister.
That's it's crazy.
So the way she fucking turns funny. It's the only way I'll be speaking to Phoebe from here on out. And that is last of my dream rotation.
Nice.
You're up.
Mine will be... would be the heat again, because I'm like, okay, the leaves are even barely turning and
okay,
I'm here.
But it's not hot right now.
The whole reason I'm here is for the fall.
Oh, I thought you were here for moi.
Well, I was here for the Lord concert.
Right.
But I just like wanted it to be like genuinely cold. Not like cold, but like genuinely fall weather. Mm-hmm. And it's still a little too hot for me.
I agree with you. I've been wearing short sleeves on my ghost tours, which is insane.
Disgusting.
I shouldn't be able to do that.
Next will be, man, like I've had a pretty good week. I don't know. Preemptively, the Steelers, if they lose.
Yeah, well, that's actually crazy that you, I hope Anthony didn't hear that.
Oh, I hope Anthony didn't hear that.
I hope Anthony didn't hear that because you just like preemptively put them on your
Yeah,
nightmare.
But I said if.
That's well, okay. Crazy. They're your team, though. I thought you bleed black and gold. Even if they lose, they should still be
I'll
on your dream.
I'll put Ohio on my list because we're playing the Browns today. And we're playing Cincinnati on Thursday.
Makes a lot more sense to me.
And also the construction. Y'all got to get that together.
And just in general? Or
no, their construction is so bad. Always. On the roads.
In Pittsburgh?
No, in Ohio.
Oh, okay. But what's the third thing on your rotation?
Oh, that will be the fact that I didn't get tickets to go see the Penguins while I was here. The hockey season just started.
Oh, I was like, they're still playing? I'm like, I don't get a hockey season. It's like year round. In my mind, it's year round.
They have a short break because the Stanley Cup's normally like in June.
Yeah, like that. Okay, so it's essentially year round.
I guess, but it's like a different season.
Okay, core strength. Phoebe just kicked her legs up in the air and catapulted herself off the couch. That is famously hard to get out of.
Have you seen my six pack?
Yes, but I wasn't going to tell everyone about it.
Well, I don't like to brag.
I know, but I did post your nudes while we were recording. So everyone's now seeing them. Okay, Phoebe's going to go delete them. So go look at her story. All right, guys. On Thursday, we are doing the finale of Pretty Little Liars. It's a long episode, so in my mind, I'm like, there's a chance it breaks up into two, but Phoebe really doesn't want to. So I'm just like, at least telling you that that was a thought I had, if that happens. But I don't anticipate it happening. But that is coming on Thursday. Holy freaking moly. I think that that's really it. We have Patreon episodes coming for you guys. Lots of fun stuff. We love you. Go get your Halloween merch. Please, please, please leave us a 5-star review. It would mean the world to us. It really helps us out. We love you guys, and we will see you next week.
And Splat.
And Splat. Hello, sister.